Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
You know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes, and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita. KNSS HD2 Clearwater and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey, Wichita, Jacob Albrock. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily coming up next exclusively on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report. Although I am an LA native, I would be lying if I sat here and said that I expected the Lakers to be up 2-0 on Houston without Luka Doncic and Austin Reeves. Just as I never expected to sit up here and say JJ Redick would turn Ime Udoka inside out. Never mind the undermanned underdog Lakers ripping a game in LA. They may damn well steal this entire series and do it without their two best players. Then again, always nice to have one of the greatest ever as option number three to step up and do things that no 41-year-old man has ever done in the history of life, and to have Marcus Smart remember he was Marcus Smart and play one of his greatest games ever, and have Luke Kennard go full laser 2 games in a row. And as for how impressive the Lakers have been, the Rockets have been just that unimpressive. Somebody might want to tell them that the playoffs have begun and that this is not Powder's regular season where no one cares and no one tries, or they'll be making tea times by the end of the weekend. I'm Jim Rome. Jim Rome here. True story. I married the best person I've ever met, Janet. And not only that, but the best mother I know. So would it not stand a reason that I would get her the very best gift for Mother's Day? Aura Frames. What an absolutely amazing product. I love it so much. And more importantly, she does. Save on gifts that moms love at AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, get $25 off the Carver Matte Frame. That's the one we have. You have to use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. Support this show by mentioning the Jim Rome Show at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. AuraFrames.com.
While retinitis pigmentosa takes Mark's vision, his family gives him hope, whether at the family business or at home with his wife and sons. He knows he's not fighting alone. For 50 years, the Foundation Fighting Blindness has funded research into treatments and cures for blinding retinal diseases, providing hope to people with vision loss. And for Mark, winning the fight means being there for his family. The Foundation Fighting Blindness. Together, we're winning. Help us end blinding diseases at fightingblind.
Hey, what do you want to da da da?
I don't know. What do y'all think we should da da da?
I have not a da what to da da da.
Close to da?
Oh, yeah.
Mka.
Well, what did we da yesterday?
Yesterday. All the dolls feel like the same doll these days.
I know.
Like, is today Monday or Tuesday?
Today is Thursday.
Oh, no. I forgot to call my mom on her birthday.
Oh, no.
No.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
You want my duck?
All right, Max Power, we see you. Jacob Albrock, Paul Savage with you here. It is Sports Daily. Thanks for hopping on with us on draft day, baby. Here we go. One of the most fun sports days of the year, the first round of the NFL draft is upon us. And for the first time in a while, the Kansas City Chiefs, boy, they're kind of staring right in the middle of one of the bigger opportunities in this draft. So we'll have a lot to get to with that throughout the show today. We'll take you through some, you know, some of, in our opinions, best case scenarios, worst case scenarios. Of course, we're all guessing at this, which guys translate the best, but that's what makes it fun. If it was easy, it wouldn't be nearly as fun. So we'll talk about it. The Royals get the day off. The offense coming alive a little bit, but still can't take the series against the Orioles. We'll sort of take a breath with them and look at some of the struggles and try to decide whether or not they can still be okay in this season. We've got that. I know Paul's got some NBA playoff thoughts. We've got portal latest, or lack of latest, maybe it better is. And we've got some other things happening. We've got rumors, Paul, of a 24-team college football playoff that we can get to on the show today. Take you through some of the latest that we're hearing there. It's all coming on tap for you. What's on tap? Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, where it's patio season. Have a brew with a view on Delano's rooftop deck. Enjoy happy hour on WBC East's patio, or grab a pizza outside, shielded from the setting sun at WBC West. When you think patio, think Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. You can get in touch with the program lots of different ways. You can call us, 869-1240. You can email us, sportsdaily@kfhradio.com. Thank you for watching us on 12 News Connected. You can also find us on social media and leave video comments on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. We can take those out over the air. You can also leave us voice messages. If you're listening to us on the Odyssey app, just hit the little microphone and those messages go right into the studio. Max can see them. Lots of ways to chime in. What do you want the Chiefs to do, everybody? What's your ideal scenario? Paul Savage, how are you this morning?
I'm good. How you doing, big boy? You doing all right?
Yeah, we're rocking and rolling here. It's a Thursday. It's draft day. I love the NFL draft. There was a time in my life where I probably would have picked the NFL draft over everything. I was a junkie when I was a kid. I would get the newspapers and the magazines and just know everything about every prospect. And now it's sort of whittled down to like, yeah, maybe the first round. And then if I saw him play in college football because of, you know, life and timing of everything. But I still like what they do with the draft and what it's become, I think, is one of the greatest achievements in sports and television. How on earth have they made this such a spectacle? They're going to probably have 500,000 people in Pittsburgh over the next three or 4 days to watch guys' names get read at a podium.
Right. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I know. But that's a way of life. You know, let's say you live in Pittsburgh. You just brought up Pittsburgh because that's where the draft is. I mean, come on. That's an NFL city. That's a working man's town.
Sure.
Those guys that go to Steelers games, you know, they got dirt under their nails. Did you know that? Did you know that those are some hard working Americans who love their NFL? And I'll tell you what, I think it's marvelous. That people like that have, and I don't mean people like that, you know what I mean, people like that. I mean working men, working people that they have a love, that they have something that they can feel passionate about.
Yeah, I do too. There's in Kansas City. You know, TJ and I always like to say, yeah, but, you know, at least we're not digging ditches. There's some ditch diggers in Pittsburgh.
That's right. It's a working man. But, you know, that's the way the NFL is in a lot of places. Just because it's New York City doesn't mean there aren't taxi cab drivers that follow the Giants or follow the Jets.
It came to Kansas City. It's a show. It's a party. Like, it used to be, you know, when it first caught fire, we were just doing it at, Radio City Music Hall?
That's right.
Doing it
that's right.
It was a big television event, which was still amazing to think about it being the massive television event that it is.
Yes.
Because again, we're just reading names off of a paper. Like there's no athletic feats. They're not, you know, throwing balls through a hoop. Like they're not doing anything.
Well,
you're just up there and it's become like a fashion show to some degree. It's like it's a whole thing. So that was always amazing. And then now it's become this big. If it moving this from city to city, it's as big as the Super Bowl.
I mean,
it's awesome. I think it's so cool.
If you think about it, though, the days when, and let's go with Art Schiester as the number one pick, you know what, 30 years ago, who's a huge bust at quarterback. But let's say the thrill of that city picking him, thinking, golly, we might be back in this. We just got Art Schiester. Oh, my gosh. Just think how good we're going to. I believe it was Baltimore that took him, wasn't it? But anyway, how good are we going to be, man? We've got it made. And that's the whole thing. Hope. Hope springs eternal, as they say. And that's the beautiful part. See, the draft is not just the draft. It's not just the reading of names. It's the giving of hope. It's the ability to maybe get better. It's the ability maybe we can start sniffing the playoffs. See, this is a night of hope. See, I think you're shortchanging when you just say we're reading names off.
I love that. Listen, again, I love the draft, but when you come down to we watch basketball because we're watching great athletic achievements.
That's true.
Time and time again, competition.
Yeah, you're
right. We made a movie about draft day. Like, this is nerds like me that love fantasy, you know, football or whatever. Like, this is it. Like, this is as good as it gets. You think about the maneuvering and the wheeling and the dealing. And I mean, I would ask you this too. Where do you think this whole thing would be without a guy like Mel Kiper Jr.? Well, like the godfather of all of this stuff. Yeah. I remember, you know, when you get on there and like he was it. He was the only guy that you felt like knew anything. So everything was about, well, what does Mel Kiper Jr. think about this? And then you decide whether or not your team was an idiot because of what he thought. And he mastered that. And it's, I don't know, again, like the broadcast achievement of the NFL draft, I can't think of anything more outrageous that it's become the spectacle that it has because of what it is. And he's a big reason for it. Now, of course, everyone has draft analysts, everyone has mock drafts, and we do this, and it's fun. It's awesome. It's a blast, and you're right. It is hope. Mm-hmm. The Chiefs had an awful year last year. Paul, that's so far away. Chiefs fans are fired up today. The punishment for that is an exciting night tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They had to trade away one of their best players in Trent McDuffie. Tough decision, but it'll make a little bit more excitement tonight. So mm-hmm. it almost turns upside down all the bad that happened to you a year ago. And here we go. And then you get the trades. And then you get all the other fun stuff that comes on a draft night. We're going to discuss it all. I'm going to get Paul's best case scenario. What player, what strategy here. I think I've made mine clear and I'll stick to it, but we'll go back through it again. What are some of the scenarios? What are the latest mocks? There's mocks out today. What are they saying? We'll get to all of it here on Sports Daily. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here on the show. It's all Brockton Savage with you. It is round one of the NFL draft tonight. We cannot wait. And we'll talk to you about it next.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. Watch for construction on I-135 in both directions at K-96 and also on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. Gray skies out the door will eventually turn partly cloudy. A high of 85. Strong gusty south winds between 20 and 30 miles per hour. After 5 o'clock through this evening, severe storms are likely, especially along and east of the turnpike. All of that should be done by 10 p.m. or so, then clearing in 52. A beautiful Friday, sunshine in 77. Back over to showers and storms on Saturday, and some of those could be severe. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
BetMGM tonight.
Giants now have number 5, and they have number 10. I've been screaming for weeks when the Giants only had the 5th pick. I didn't want Jeremiah Love. I want Caleb Downs more than anything. Like I was 9 years old and I wanted the PlayStation 2. That's how badly I want Caleb Downs.
Weeknights starting at 5 on KFH, Wichita's most listened to sports radio. This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
We have trouble again in Dallas. Stephen Jones said George Pickens won't get a long-term deal and they expect him to play on the franchise tag. Here's the problem. Pickens hasn't signed the franchise tag and his people have made it very clear that he doesn't have plans to. This is classic cowboy drama. This is where they thrive. If attention is your thing, that's great, but eventually the focus needs to be on winning. And as the saying goes, winning comes at a price. But then,
it's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We're glad to be here with you. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bedweed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Welcome back in. We're talking NFL draft. Of course we are. Round one tonight, Paul Savage.
Yes, sir.
Let's go. The Chiefs never picked this high. And they get to pick this high because last year sucked. And now they get two picks because they had to trade away one of their best players and Trent McDuffie. That kind of sucks too. But it gives you two picks tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They, I would generally say, are are good at the draft. They find a lot of players, not always at the beginning of the draft, but over the course of drafts, they find a lot of players. I think one way you can do some evaluation of how teams do is just kind of go look up and down the roster. How many of the guys who have, you know, contracts or bigger contracts or contract extensions basically are homegrown players? Mm-hmm. And how much success have you had? And the Chiefs have a lot of guys that they've drafted that are on massive contracts that are homegrown players. So I think, you know, people like to look at bits and pieces of drafts and say, oh, they really struggle there. But you got to look at this thing, Paul, as a total package. You might miss in the first and hit in the third and fourth, and you got two good players, and you'll probably take that. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have to look at it as a total body of work. They're just in some unique air here. They haven't picked this high in a really long time. And so now they have picked 9. And they need a lot of things. And I'm checking mocks this morning, Paul. CBS Sports' last day of mock has the offensive tackle out of Miami, Magoa, who is usually first or second in the tackle rankings, however you look at it. ESPN's Field Yates has them taking Magoa, offensive tackle out of Miami. It's pretty interesting. He's getting mocked there, and that was that was Kuiper's big board rankings. I was on the wrong tab there. So Kuiper has him as the 9th best player, not getting mocked there necessarily. Field Yates on his latest that came out has him taking Caleb Downs. I look at Dane Brugler, who works for The Athletic, who I think does a great job. He's mocking them, Reuben Bain Jr. You'll see wide receivers in the mix. You'll see, I mean, literally everybody is saying different things about the Chiefs. Oh, and by the way, there are the rumors that the Chiefs could be interested in trading up. Mm-hmm. It's all this will be so much fun tonight. We have no idea. And trading down's an option too, if they don't like any of the players or they think they can get one a few picks later. They could go any direction outside of drafting a backup quarterback, and you can look at it and you could say, okay, I get it. That makes sense, right? This is a really interesting position for them. They don't, I mean, do they have a biggest need, Paul? I guess, if you ask me, I'd say their biggest need is edge rusher, but you could easily say their biggest need is corner. Mm-hmm. You could easily say their biggest need is wide receiver. You could make the case for an offensive lineman. Hell, you could make the case for Jeremiah Love if he somehow fell down there, which he won't. But, like, it's all on the table, and I think that creates a really fun scenario tonight.
Here's my prediction of the weird thing that's going to happen. We all make these in our own minds. The only problem is I'm going to share mine with everybody so I can be laughed at. That's what I'm shooting for.
We'll take it.
Yeah, I know you'll take it, and you'll do it, won't you? But anyway, here's my scenario. Chiefs trade out of the 9th pick, move up to the 3rd pick to take Jeremiah Love.
Take him with Kenneth Walker.
Yes, because Jeremiah Love is not just a running back. See, everybody's got him boxed in. Everybody's got this kid boxed in to this whatever they perceive of him as a running back. Man, he's a good receiver. That guy can catch the ball. That guy can do a lot of things. He's the best player, I think, overall, in the first round. Well, that's a stretch. They're all good players and all serve a need. But I just think that's the weird, weird scenario that could happen. And I keep thinking to myself, yeah, I guess it could, because who wouldn't want a Jeremiah Love type athlete and player of that kind of abilities and that kind of set of multi-skills? Multi, did you catch that? Multi-skills.
Yeah,
And who wouldn't want that type of player on their team? I'm just saying, will it happen? I doubt it. I don't give myself any credit for that, but I'm just thinking to myself, wouldn't that be weird? Now, if it happens, man, I'm going to look like I know my stuff, doesn't it, won't I?
Right. Well, they were interested in him, I think,
they
at one
have
point.
Been. And, no, they have
and
been.
And though, Paul, they went and they made Kenneth Walker the 4th highest paid running back in football. In free agency.
Okay.
Now, teams have done this kind of wacky thing before, right? The Falcons give Kirk Cousins a massive deal, and then they draft Michael Penix Jr. The Vikings I don't remember the order of Sam Darnold and J.J. McCarthy. And that was a little bit different because Darnold at that point wasn't getting a boatload of money. But Cousins is a good example of that. We know teams across the league, Kenneth Walker was just a part of a split backfield. Like to use two guys. So I think others may laugh at you at that, Paul, more than I would. I would say that if he's, you know, if you're looking at this as the draft evaluators and you have the ability to find a transcendent talent, again, and I've said this before, the Chiefs are in a position to go get that kind of player, whoever it is, right? And you know, people have said this isn't as strong a draft class. I feel like they're always strong. It maybe just isn't as obvious in this one.
Well, they're saying it on this class because of the quarterback situation.
The quarterbacks have a lot to do with it. And it's
that's exactly
too.
Right. Yeah.
Like you'd take Fernando Mendoza and a flyer on him over Cam Ward at this point, last year's number one pick, wouldn't you? Should, you know, the quarterbacks last year were weak. The quarterbacks next year might not be awesome either. Like, I don't know.
I get what you're saying.
So I don't think it's as crazy as probably a lot of people would say that hear you say that, because at the end of the day, if you're in a position in a class where there's obvious talent, listen, if the Chiefs made that's about as bold a move as I could think of other than taking a quarterback at 9, trading up to take Jeremiah Love. That would be probably the most surprising thing they could do. If they did it, I mean, are any Chiefs fans going to sit here and not be excited that you maybe got the most talented player in the draft?
I would say.
I mean, Kenneth Walker's making a boatload of money. I don't know what his contract, you know, the mechanics of his contract. I also, there's room for two-headed backfields. They're all over the league among really good teams, too, by the way.
And somebody's always nicked up at running back. Let's not forget that.
Well, it's if you're going to go that route. And again, like if you go that route, people would say, well, then what does that do to your pass game? And I'd point you to the Lions and the way they used Gibbs and Montgomery all these years. Jared Goff still threw a ton. So it wouldn't shock me, Paul. I think for most people it would because they spent so much money on Kenneth Walker. But that doesn't mean everything's not on the table. Now, I don't think they would trade up to get him.
Well, they'll have to because he's not going to fall to 9.
Kind of what I laid out there, like, what if he just happened to fall to 9?
I don't think that's happening.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah, I guess.
Would you not take him there just because you signed Kenneth Walker? Like, I think you probably would.
I believe you would, yes. And by the way, how about Jeremiah Love and Patrick Mahomes in the same backfield? Oh, does that break?
And Kenneth Walker, Paul.
Like, and Kenneth Walker.
It just made him the fourth highest paid running back in football.
Yeah,
I don't think he's making it past.
Yeah.
The idea that he would make it past Arizona, Tennessee, and Washington seems impossible at this point. Or New York, by the way, the Giants you want to talk about two-headed backfields. How about Jeremiah Love and Cam Scatabo?
Well, I think I saw a mock draft, or at least a draft from somebody that had Jeremiah Love going at number 2 to the Jets.
To the Jets with Breece Hall?
Well, that's what I don't know
that there's another scenario, Paul, that would piss me off more than that.
Well,
because they wouldn't trade Hall, and Hall could have been a Chief. They wouldn't trade him, and then they take Love.
Well, I think I saw a draft that said that, but I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
I bet not. I bet you saw one that had him going to the Cardinals. The Cardinals seem to hold all the cards.
Right.
Here, for lack of a better term.
More than likely.
Because almost all the mocks now have, at least the ones in the last 2-3 days, for whatever reason, have David Bailey going 2. And I always thought that would be Arvell Reese. But if it's Bailey or Reese, whatever you want to say, they'll probably take one of those guys, you'd imagine. And then it's Arizona. And Arizona holds the power of everything here. And there are the Cowboys who could be a potential candidate to move up to take an elite edge rusher. The Chiefs certainly are. The Giants now have 2 first round picks. There are a lot of teams that if they fall in love with the player, if I'm Arizona, I'm just sitting back waiting for it. Who is going to give us the most to come get Reese or Bailey? Or you know, if it's a team like the Giants, perhaps it could be Jeremiah Love. I wouldn't hold out on the Cowboys. I mean, they re-signed Javonte Williams. That's the thing. To your point, Paul, you have an entire offseason to plan on what you're going to do. The Giants have, I think I said Scadaboo. So are you beholden to a guy that was hurt last year? Cowboys, are you beholden to Javonte Williams, who's got an injury history? The Chiefs, Kenneth Walker, who's never, you know, been solo in a backfield before? If all of those teams are sitting there looking at it and they're like, man, we think Jeremiah Love is the best player in this draft, and we think we could go get him. And again, I think the Chiefs would be the absolute least likely to do that of those teams we just mentioned, but whatever. That's where I think this draft gets really interesting and why it could be a lot of fun. For a draft that doesn't have the quarterback drama, this one could be a lot of fun because everybody has a different feel or guess, really, at what's going to happen. The drafts, even when there are quarterbacks, Paul, where you sit there and we kind of know what the first five picks are going to be and everybody's sort of locked in there, like, those aren't as much fun. We don't know what they're doing at two through 32 today. Paul, are question marks. We know one pick this year, and it's going to be Fernando Mendoza at one. And then it is wide open after that. Maybe the Jets don't love one of the edge rushers. Now they've got more trade, you know, now they've got more draft capital than the Cardinals do if they decided to go that route. You know, if you're, let's say you're the Chiefs, and let's say you love Bailey over Reese, and you have them, you know, clearly you like one over the other. You have to call the Jets, don't you? And say, hey, we'll give you 1-29 or 1-40 or whatever it would end up being. We'll give it. The Cardinals are going to take it at three. But in your head, you know, do you call the Jets and say, we'll give that to you and we'll throw in whatever, a pick next year? Because in your head, you're thinking, we really like this player over that player. The Jets are also in this position. Or do the Jets just stand pat and make their pick? If I'm the Jets or the Cardinals, Paul, I'm on the phone. I'm answering the phone until 2 seconds before I pick. Because there are a lot of teams with two first-round picks. Two of them, the Chiefs and the Cowboys, feel like they could be a Super Bowl contender next year, which, you know, to what we've seen the Rams do over the years, makes, I feel like, makes you a little more inclined to be willing to trade that kind of draft capital. I don't have a strong philosophy on whether you trade the picks, make the picks. I think every situation's different. But I've told you, Paul, and I'll say it again now, and we'll take some comments and stuff in the next segment. My preference is for the Chiefs to draft, to trade up to two or three and get either Reese or Bailey. That's my preference in this draft of the first round. Mm-hmm. That cost you 29, so be it. If it cost you 40, so be it. It obviously would cost you pick 9. I mean, maybe you can come up with a scenario where it costs you 29 and 40 and not pick 9. I doubt it. Or a first next year, whatever it is. But probably you're giving up 9 in that scenario. So that's my preferred choice. I think those players have a chance to be special. I think it's a position that the Chiefs have struggled with over the years. I mean, I know George Karlaftis is there, but to me, George Karlaftis is pretty good. He's not an elite edge rusher. He's pretty good. And they need an elite edge rusher. Yeah. They need that on the defense that's going to be, it's going to have spags, but they're losing a lot of talent on that defense. But that would be my preference, Paul, because you have such a rich history of drafting corners later in the draft that become impact players. So I think you can lean into that. I think that lessens the pressure to take a corner. They are very good at drafting corners. You've been pretty good at drafting offensive linemen, not left tackles. So if the goal is a right tackle, can you get one a little later? Maybe. Wide receiver is the one where I look at it and you may have too much of a value proposition to turn down. Let's say they don't trade up. If you look at Tate or Tyson or Lemon or whoever they're looking at there as elite talents that could be, you know, top of the league kind of playmakers, I could justify that too, because that's where you get into the contracts. And I don't know if you paid attention, Paul, this offseason to what wide receivers are getting paid now versus the production.
Mm-hmm.
It is wild.
It is. Yeah.
Wild mm-hmm. stuff.
Yeah.
How much money wide receivers are getting paid.
Yeah, the Cowboys
and
are right in the middle of that.
Next year,
kind of
when Rashee Rice is a free agent and Travis Kelce probably retires, you're looking at a wide receiver group, Paul, that includes what? Xavier Worthy, Jalen Royals. I mean, it's not even just the top guys either, because the top guys are getting a boatload. We know that. Jackson Smith and Jigba just reset the market. Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb. But you don't have to go down very far. Paul, Brandon Ayuk's making $30 million a year. Alec Pierce just got $28.5 million. Even go down, I'm trying to go down. Jacoby Myers got traded. He's making $20 million. Wandale Robinson is making $17.5 million. You don't have to go very far down these lists to see just massive contracts for these wide receivers. If you can get one on that rookie contract for a while, it's about like getting a quarterback at this point.
Yeah. And here's the thing, too. And by the way, your Cowboys are not exactly exempt from dealing with receivers at this point, are they? They've had a little bit of experience.
Yeah, they've got Lamb, and they can't afford Pickens, so they're going to play him on a franchise tag. Yeah. I think that's the right call. The Cowboys are the most desperate team in this draft to me, Paul. It's next year or bust.
Right, and this is all sponsored sort of by Jerry Jones is obviously the man in charge, and we'll see what happens. But it seems like the Cowboys and receivers have just been in the news, in the last few months. But anyway, with that being said, tonight is one thing's for sure, Jacob, and you can address this as well if this is what you think is going to happen. I think you could almost have a record number of trades, draft picks for players for moving up, for moving down, that tonight, because of all the conversation we're having, and considering the fact that most of the teams that are picking in the top 10 don't seem to be locked into any particular position because they all have needs. That's the nature of the draft in the way it starts anyway. They all have needs. That I'm just saying, because of the quarterback situation, we may see a night where there may be a record numbers of trades made in the first round. Trading for picks, dropping for picks, the whole bit.
All right, let's come back. Let's get to some of the viewer, listener comments. You can leave us those. Again, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can call us at 869-1240. Email us at sportsdaily@kfhradio.com. We'll give you like our dream scenarios for the draft tonight. Paul teased at his with Jeremiah Love somehow finding his way to the Chiefs. I'll give you mine. Not what I, after these first picks. Like, what do we want to see this come out of? We'll get into all of that. It's night one of the NFL draft, everybody. Let's party. We'll be right back.
This is Sports Radio KFH.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hanzus and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Everything.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic.
For delays on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street because of construction, and it's causing a backup to I-35. And it's a little sluggish on I-235 southbound heading on to K-96 East. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Good morning. Gray skies out the door. Will eventually turn partly cloudy. A high of 85. Strong gusty south winds between 20 and 30 miles per hour. After 5 o'clock through this evening, severe storms are likely, especially along and east of the turnpike. All of that should be done by 10 p.m. or so, then clearing in 52. A beautiful Friday, sunshine in 77. Back over to showers and storms on Saturday, and some of those could be severe. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now,
the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some these players, young players. Now, Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like, when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this, because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me, or you as a fan, where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes, and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Wherever you go, you can take us along. Listen to our live stream and never miss a thing. Listen during a root canal. Listen on the bus. Listen during your kid's school play. Just don't let them catch you doing it. Wherever you go, take us along. Listen to our live stream on the free iHeartRadio app.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. Went out and played nine holes yesterday in the gap between jobs, and it was fantastic. It was on the South Course again. Everything's looking great, in great condition. It was a little misty out there, but, you know, it was fine. We had the club covers on the Crestview golf cart out there, and we played through it, and didn't even need to wear a hat because the sun was nowhere to be found. But 36 holes of golf right now out at Crestview. They are getting them in condition. They have the fairways looking good. The greens are being punched and ready to rock and roll. As the weather turns, it will be the best golf you can find anywhere. And so much more. Simulators inside when the weather does get too bad to play it through. Give Crestview a call. Go take a tour of the facility. You won't regret it. Thanks to them for supporting this show. All right. Paul, let's get to some comments, some dream scenarios for us here.
All right.
Jason chimes in first and says if they don't trade up, he likes Bane as the pick to upgrade the pass rush. I would say that's the most popular scenario that I've seen out there. And then he asks, who inside the top 10 or 15 has a chance to be the biggest bust? I think the obvious answer to that is Fernando Mendoza, because of the position he plays, the spotlight that will be on him. But we're not going to know the answer to that for a long time. I can't imagine with Kirk Cousins there, he's going to start out of the gates. But of all of this, the answer to those is almost always a quarterback, especially when it's one overall. Biggest bust, who has the potential to be the most disappointing player in this draft? It's going to be quarterback when you take them high. It's hardest to do. It's the hardest to translate. And he's taken number one overall. So that's the obvious answer, but I'll give you another one. I think it's Sadiq, the tight end that's being rumored, you know, kind of right around that top 15 area out of Oregon. And it's not even really a knock on him, Paul. It's tight end seems to be the trickiest position to acclimate to outside a quarterback quickly for whatever reason. I guess it's because the multi-responsibility of being such an important blocker and a pass catcher. But we see tight ends either not work out or take a long time to get there in this league. It feels like pretty often. So that's one I would give you there.
Mm-hmm. Well, with Sadiq, I can tell you this. Gosh darn, he's athletic, isn't he? I mean, yeah. He could be a bust. I mean, any of the top first round guys could end up being a bust. You just, you know,
4.39 40, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. And that is just amazing to me. And I think he has the potential of maybe being a bust, but he also has the inside track on being a star. And I think we just don't know. Obviously we'll see, you know, whoever takes him is going to get a heck of a player. Now, if he gets into that right situation with the right quarterback to get him a ball, and he's put into an offense and asked to do the things that that he can actually do well, good for him, because there you go. That would be good. But potential.
The trend I was sort of talking about is getting bucked in the most recent years, right? We've seen last year's two first rounders, Loveland and Warren. I think most people would be satisfied with their rookie years. You've had Brock Bowers, obviously, as one of the best tight ends in football. He was taken, you know, early in the draft. So I think there are lots of examples now. But when we go back and look, like, there have been a lot of guys, you know, Kyle Pitts. How long is it is Kyle Pitts a bust for as high as he was taken at this point in his career? It's hard. It's a hard position to go. So, I mean, it's not liking or not liking Kenyon Sadiq. That's a really hard question, by the way. Biggest bust. I think a lot of people would probably say Bain because of his measurables. It's hard for me to look at a player that productive and, you know, say he's going to be a bust. I just maybe like the other two guys a little better, Bailey and Reese.
Okay.
But what's a dream scenario? I'll give you kind of the scenario for me. And it applies to the Chiefs, who, you know, we follow every day here, and the team that I'm a fan of, the Cowboys. It's kind of the same for both. Dream scenario for me would be getting three defensive starters with the first three picks that they make.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
They both have similar draft capital, so with a couple of first and then an early second. I think the other part of that dream scenario to me is that one of those players, and he applies to both teams, is Texas Tech's Jacob Rodriguez.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there you go. Well, I hadn't thought of that one particularly.
See both teams, and he's getting mocked a little higher than I thought he would be, and I'm glad to see it, because at some point, and this is the same case that, you know, people will make for Reuben Bain, like, at some point when you're that good in college, right, you're just like, you're gonna be good, and it's the Bain case at a different position, and that to me is Jacob Rodriguez. So same applies, so it'd be this for the Chiefs too. Three defensive starters with your first three picks, and one of them is Jacob Rodriguez. That would be the best case scenario for me coming out of this draft.
Well, I think you're probably on to something. At least if I had to come up with a scenario, it would be very similar to that, because obviously that's what the Chiefs need. I mean, you got Patrick Mahomes, and you got him still for a long, long time. We think, yep. God willing, he stays healthy and all that kind of stuff. So there's certain things that you can do with this offense, and just because of a Patrick Mahomes. So defense is obviously where my mind goes as well. Now, let me just say this about David Bailey. I'm kind of cooling on David Bailey.
Really?
You know, we're starting to see a lot of film on him, right? I mean, every time you flip on anything that's got, you know, we're breaking down players and we're seeing film when they were in college and that kind of stuff. I'm starting to cool a little on David Bailey. And the reason is, I'm not sure he's as physical a football player on a defensive line as I want. He's a finesse guy. He's a run around the guy. He's a spin off the block kind of guy. I don't see him attacking offensive line.
That's why he gets a bad rap, I guess, as a run stopper.
That's exactly right, because, you know, at some point when you're involved in defending the run, you got to make a stand in your gap. You know what I mean? You just can't.
What if you put him with Chris Jones, though, Paul?
Well,
or if you're the Cowboys, who are going to have the best pair of defensive tackles that's, you know, I can remember any team having at the same time.
Well, that's a good point, because now that freshens up a little bit. And then you've also got linebackers and safeties that can play downhill and get to where you need to be to help with the run. So that's a really good point.
I mean, the Cowboys are going to run out Kenny Clark and Quinnen Williams. You kidding me? A defensive tackle. The Chiefs have Chris Jones in there, who's a one-man wrecking crew.
Right.
So, again, is he a total package? Maybe not, but I do think he's the best pass rusher, is the hardest thing to find.
Well, it is. And what he does is he's a pass rusher. I mean, if you have what teams would call, say, a jet call nearly 90% of the time, which means, you know, playing the run is off, and now you just go into pure rush mode.
Yeah.
He's your guy.
Well,
that's who you
Micah
want.
Micah Parsons. What was one of the things Jerry Jones said when he traded Parsons is Parsons doesn't help us in the run game.
Well, that's true.
And
he is true.
But he's also one of the elite pass rushers in this league.
Right. And, and that's where the money and the headlines are, isn't it?
Sure. Well, it's, and there's a reason for it, right?
Well, sure, it's important.
If the most important position in football is the quarterback, then the most important thing you can do is stop the quarterback.
That's right.
The second most important thing you can do is stop the quarterback. Right.
Right.
I mean, it makes sense. Or if you're looking at it, protect the quarterback if you're talking about offense. So I'm with you on, I get it on Bailey. Maybe Reese is better for that reason. Again, I'd be happy with either of those guys. Your scenario you laid out is a fun one with Jeremiah Love as a dream scenario. What are people thinking out there? Jason chimes in, Reuben Bain. I'll be okay if it's Bain. Look, if they just pick 9 and it's Bain, I'm going to be fine with it.
Yeah.
I will be. It's not a problem because he's one of the more fun college players we've seen in a long time. If they walk out with Reuben Bain and Jacob Rodriguez and you're looking at, you know, two of the most productive college football players we've seen, great. It'll be fine. I just want to know that they evaluate certain. I wish I could see their big board. I know we always wish that, and they probably don't tell us the truth after the fact when they talk about it. If they've got Bain up there, then great. But if they do have Reese or Bailey, like as an elite talent in this draft, that's where I'd like to see him be aggressive. And we just don't know the answer to that. One thing about Bailey, one thing about Jacob Rodriguez that we must keep in mind, and people can roll their eyes at this, but if you don't think Patrick Mahomes has had an impact on drafts, you're crazy. Texas Tech, Paul. You don't think Mahomes is pining for his boys, his Red Raiders? You don't think he was having fun with college football last year, watching the Red Raiders be great, and these two guys are sitting there? You don't think Mahomes is in Brett Veach's ear of like, hey, you know, like these Texas Tech boys are pretty good.
Yeah, he's one of those. He's one of those NFL guys that the pride of his college oozes, and you can tell. And that's not the way it is with everybody.
He loves his alma mater as much as any player does.
Yeah, I think part of that's a Texas thing too, just as much as
it's
that
a little
too.
Bit. You know what the Texas Tech mentality is.
Sure, Paul. I do.
And I say I grew up. I could not stand Texas Tech growing up because we were the school down the road that kind of felt like little brother, Division II, whatever. But as I've gotten older, I've really grown to appreciate what Texas Tech is. They're the underdog. They've always felt like the underdog. When you talk to kids about where they're going in Texas, you start with Texas and then A&M, and then maybe you get into TCU or whatever. Texas Tech's usually pretty far down the list. Now, it's a great school, and they have a lot of great programs. That's not what I mean. But that's kind of and Mike Leach is most responsible for this.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Leach, like, embraced that as much as anybody else does. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me that Mahomes has that kind of fire for his alma mater. But they listened to Mahomes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire felt like they picked him because Mahomes said so. If you remember that.
Yeah.
Like he was tweeting about it like, yo, this guy. And they take him and it didn't work out. So maybe he just keeps to himself now. But I cannot imagine that he hasn't had a few, maybe even if joking, conversations with Brett Veach about David Bailey and Jacob Rodriguez.
Yeah, and you can make a case where the main thing that you use to attack Texas Tech, if you're a recruiter and you're talking to players and they mention Texas Tech, do you know where Texas Tech is? It is out there in the middle of nowhere. Why in the world would you want to go to Texas Tech when you can come to Austin or where you can go to Houston or where you can go to Dallas and come to TCU? Or, you know, that is the number one thing said about Texas Tech in the world of football and particularly recruits and assembling teams. But and there's it's kind of true, Jacob. You're out from out there.
I mean,
what are you going to do? Go to Amarillo to party?
Don't you dare, Paul Savage. Nobody parties any harder. That's not the problem. The beer's just as cold. But yeah, Lubbock's not my favorite place in the world. But again, when you're on campus, it doesn't matter where you are. You can plop a campus anywhere. You don't think they're having a blast in Hayes or Emporia or where I was at in the Amarillo Canyon area? You can party anywhere. But yeah, I get it. The optics of it. It's Lubbock, and it's Lubbock. Lubbock is not pretty, we'll call it. But it's a fun college town. It's a lot of fun, just like every college town.
Like Manhattan.
That's on this tangent.
Manhattan's fun.
Manhattan's a great town.
Great town.
All right. When we come back in the next hour, we'll probably dig a little bit more into the draft. Two things I want to make sure we get to today, though, is rumors now 16 or 24 teams in a college football playoff expansion. What do we think, and can the Royals get this thing turned around?
This is 97.5 and 1240 KFH, Wichita. K248CY, Wichita. KNSS HD2 Clearwater and Odyssey Sports Station.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. The delays on Southeast Boulevard northbound at 31st Street because of construction, and it's causing a backup to I-35. And it's a little sluggish on I-235 southbound heading on to K-96 East. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. Gray skies out the door will eventually turn partly cloudy. A high of 85. Strong gusty south winds between 20 and 30 miles per hour. After 5 o'clock through this evening, severe storms are likely, especially along and east of the turnpike. All of that should be done by 10 p.m. or so, then clearing in 52. A beautiful Friday, sunshine in 77. Back over to showers and storms on Saturday, and some of those could be severe. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey, and we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.